The title I've given to my message today is quite straightforward, really. People have asked me this from time to time, and, I prayed about it, and God has laid this message on my heart, and I hope you will understand and enjoy it. It has a lot of information in it. The question is, what if you never hear the gospel? What then? What if you never hear the gospel? Now, if somebody asked you that question, now, if somebody said, what is the gospel anyway? You know, there are still people out there, unfortunately, who, they don't know what the gospel is. And they might have other opinions of such things. So, you know, it's not really polite or advantageous of any of us to look at them strangely and say, well, I never heard of the gospel. No, it's better to just be straightforward with them and, be nice about it. I mean, after all, you want to win them to Christ, right? What is the gospel, someone says to you? What would be your answer? Well, that's what it's all about. What would be your answer? You might be surprised at some of the answers you get. For example, isn't the gospel, something to do with the Bible? Or gospel. Is that in the dictionary? Or how about this one? Gospel according to who? According to who? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Now we're getting somewhere. You know, you'll get all sorts of answers, including, isn't that a building of some sort? Yeah, that's it. A big white building just outside of town, right? Where folks go and play bingo, right? Looks like a church, really. Yeah, that's it. Gospel Hall, yes, that's it. Well, the answer I like best of all these is, I got no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. What's the gospel? You know why I say that? You see, if you're trying to lead someone to the Lord, isn't it better if they're completely ignorant right at the outset? I mean, there's no clutter, right? There's no confusion. You can witness to them right at ground level. Wow. So, let's get going. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news, right? Sure it is. It's the birth, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It is not only this, for sure, but isn't it really also the plan of salvation? Yes, of course, according to the will of God by Jesus Christ. The gospel is the plan of salvation. Make no mistake about it. Now, isn't that the real gospel? Of course it is. And if I preach the gospel to you, And you repent, that means if you turn away from your lifestyle and turn to Christ in faith believing, then where will you go when you leave this earth? Heaven? Now, in the Bible, you'll notice the word gospel or good news used in different ways. Don't get confused. If we look at Matthew 4, verse 23, the Word of God says that Jesus went about in Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, which is to come. Thy kingdom come? Ooh, yeah. Now, if you go ahead to Matthew 24:14, you'll see Jesus is speaking here now. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That sounds kind of grim, doesn't it? Then will the end come. So the reason why the end hasn't come yet is because the gospel has not been preached in all the world. Wouldn't that seem to make sense? But you know something? The way things are going around the world today, we're pretty close to the end. You know, I even believe it would be safe to say we're living in the end times right now. I mean, with the technology we have, people hear the gospel regardless of where they are. I mean, with the new inventions, you know, like internet and, you know, cell phones. You don't need to have a plug anywhere. Yeah. If we move a few pages over to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read this. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. I like this next line. Repent ye and believe. Repent ye and believe. You know, we really are commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. To preach the gospel to the poor. And not to be ashamed of the gospel. No. And Paul picks it up in Romans when he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So we have a pretty good descriptive of the gospel, right? And we who know the gospel, we are to pass it on, to give it to others. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come on to repentance. And you do that through the gospel. So let us return to the title of my sermon. What if you never hear the gospel? What if you never hear the gospel? What then? What will you do? What will God do? Send you to hell? I mean, aren't we told that if we reject Jesus Christ, then we will go to hell? Hands up. How many believe in hell? I mean, I can't see your hands. Are they up? Do you believe in hell? You have to believe in hell to believe in heaven. They are opposites. More on that again. But would a holy and righteous God send us to hell because we never heard the gospel? Would he? Keep listening. Well, let's find out, okay? If we turn in our Bible to Romans 1, verse 18, and go to 20, here's what we read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Have you got that? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Manifest in them. So God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. There you have it. So, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Now, you can read that over yourself, Romans 1, verses 18 to 20. Read it over a couple of times. You'll really get to understand it, and it's so important. Now, first of all, we must know why we go to hell. Why do you think we go to hell? Well, the answer is quite simple. People go to hell because they are sinners. It's as simple as that. You might say, well, I ain't no sinner. Well, I tell you, you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I'm saved and I'm still a sinner. You'll find out the difference here. Just hang in there. People go to hell because they are sinners. Now, it's not because they have not known or received the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. I mean, the entire world was on its way to hell until Calvary. Did you know that? Everybody in the world was on their way to hell until Calvary. Until God, in his great mercy, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us on that cruel cross at Calvary. People go to hell because they are sinners, not believing in Jesus Christ. Well, that simply seals their faith. That simply seals their faith. Now listen carefully to an illustration a friend gave me. Now just suppose someone who lives, say, how about in the jungles? Yeah, in the jungles, say, of South America, he becomes sick. Very sick. Perhaps with cancer or some other deadly disease. And let's say the witch doctor, with all his magic potions and silly dancing, could not heal this native. You see in the picture now? Along comes this missionary doctor, an evangelist, who visits the tribe on a regular basis. Now, he suggests that the sick man should go to a medical center some distance away. That's what the evangelist suggests. He suggests that the sick man should go there as soon as possible. Well, the tribesman, the sick man, he refuses, insisting that his own medicine man, well, he can cure him. What faith he has in him, huh? Now, several weeks later, the same tribesman dies. Wow. You know what? He died. Listen now. He died because he had the sickness, the cancer. That's why he died. Right? Now, not getting the cure simply sealed his fate. And the cure is what? Jesus. Jesus. Now compare this illustration with the world we live in now. Everyone without Christ is under the curse of sin. We've already established that. Everyone without Christ is under the curse of sin and is perishing. Many are without any hope, for they will not come to the great physician, Jesus Christ. They won't come to him. They just do not believe or want to believe. The disease of sin is the deadliest of all diseases there could be. Why do I say this? Because it's the only disease that you actually die from twice. Twice. Oh, how can that be? Well, there's physical dying and there's spiritual dying. So you die twice if you reject Jesus Christ. You die physically and you die spiritually. Ever wonder why missionaries are so vital? Well, first of all, missionaries are commissioned by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have missionaries from our church. Most churches have missionaries that go to various places around the world and preach the gospel. Or you could say, shine the light of the truth. Same thing. Now take a jungle setting, for example. First of all, these tribes who seldom or never leave the interior, they're without excuse when they stand at the great white throne judgment. Well, why? Does that seem fair if they never heard the gospel? Hang in there. Here's how it works. God, first of all, God is not willing that any should perish. Any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. For this reason, God, as I alluded to earlier, God in his great mercy has shown to each of us, he has shown to each of us at least a portion of his creation. At the very least. It could be in the things we see around us, the trees, the grass, the crops that grow out of a dry ground. These things are part of the light he sends initially. Okay? And when we begin to wonder, and when we want to know more, well, then God sends more light. As long as we continue to seek after God, he will send us more and more light. That's understanding. And with his light, we will discover the truth of who he is, who God really is. How wonderful is that? In most cases now, the end result is a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is where the ordained missionary plays a major role. Seek and ye shall find. I remember well the life of drudgery and despair I myself went through. Many a night I would go into my backyard, and there I would lie on my back on top of my picnic table in the dark and stare up into the night sky at the stars. Now, in my solitude, I would hold what you might call an informal conversation with God. A God I thought I knew. I wasn't saved, though. I would say things like, "Is this all there is, God? Is this all there is?" I want to know what really lies beyond those stars. What's out there anyway? Of course, like I said, I wasn't saved at the time, but I was always searching. That's important. Always wanting to know more. Wanting to know more. That's when I discovered that as long as you wanted to know more, God was willing to send more. A little more light. A little more light. Light that was soon filled with knowledge. Light that was soon filled with wisdom. Not the kind I wanted, but the kind he wanted for me. This went on for a long time, years, until one night God stopped sending his light. He stopped sending his light. Now, I remember a country singer, Hank Williams. I love Hank Williams' songs. I just do. I think he was saved, and because he wasn't walking with the Lord, that the Lord took him out. I really believe that when I get to heaven, I'll see Hank Williams there. He was a man after God's heart, but he was a man who never gave himself totally over to the things of Christ. But he sure sang fine music about him. You know, the song that was most popular at that time when Hank wrote it, Hank sang it, and it sure touched the hearts of a lot of people, called "I Saw the Light." I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now that's about all I can do for now. That might be all you want to hear for now, right? You know, well, one night he was on stage doing that song, "I Saw the Light." And when he left the stage and walked backstage, he ran into Minnie Pearl. Minnie Pearl was part of the act, also a country entertainer. And he looked at Minnie, very downtrodden, and said with great sadness, "You know, Minnie, that's been my problem. That's my problem. There ain't no light. There just ain't no light." Hank Williams died in the back seat of his Cadillac on New Year's Day, 1952, while on his way to do a concert in Oak Hill, West Virginia, and he was just 29. Let's move ahead to October the 5th, 1987, when a drunken fool of a man stumbled along a rainy country back road and cried out to God from a dying soul, "My God, my God, if there's anything here worth saving, I give it to you. I give it to you. You can have it. You can take it." That very night, another soul winged its way into the presence of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, whenever a soul responded to the light given unto him, then God always responded by sending a preacher of the gospel. Remember Stephen and the Ethiopian eunuch? And what about the Philippian jailer? Did God not send Paul and Silas? Sirs, said the Philippian jailer to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, unto Silas, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." They were talking about the house itself. No, they were not the building itself. Talking about his family, of course. As we come to the close, I want to say this. Jesus paid a price we could not pay. By the shedding of his blood, his precious blood, we are saved. By his declaration from the cross, it is finished. It can never be undone. Never. Once you have it, it's yours for eternity. Now, if there really is some other way of salvation, then why did God send his only begotten Son to the earth? Well, few of us could understand deliberately offering up one of our children to die for the benefit of others. No, we don't want to hear that, do we? Who among us could ever conceive of offering up one of our own children when there was some other way of salvation? Then, rather than the death of Christ, which was the greatest tragedy in world history, more than that, it was an act of monstrous cruelty. If there ever was another way of salvation, this cruelty to God's own Son would not have happened. But it was the only way, by the shedding of his blood, the suffering of the nails, the whippings, oh, the tremendous agony he went through for us. This was the monstrous cruelty he went through. If there was ever another way of salvation, don't you think God would have permitted it? In that case, God is not a God of love, you might think, but a creature of evil. What else could you say about a God who would allow his own Son to die in vain? As far as I'm concerned, Christ did not die in vain. I urge you, seek him while he still may be found. Are you saved? If you're not, please don't take him for granted. You must repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he went to that cross at Calvary, shed his precious blood for the sin of the whole world. And that includes you. You see, all the people in the world, they have the covering of the blood if they will allow it. If they will take it, if they will believe in him, it's there. It can't be done again. You can't say, "Well, I want to get saved now, so come on and die on the cross for me." It's already done. It's finished. It's over. All you have to do is give yourself. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's that simple. It's that simple. There's no other way. And you never can lose it once you get it. I thank you for listening to this message, and I pray that if you're not sure about your salvation, that before you pillow your head tonight, you will make that declaration. You will give your life over to Christ. After all, he gave his life over for you and me and everybody else. Incidentally, when I was lying on the picnic table looking up at the stars those nights, I was a Catholic, and the Catholics never preached that you had to receive and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they preached to me was you had to believe in the priest and in the bishop and in the pope, and they would take care of your soul. And that's why I spent so long and had to do it the proper way. You must. You don't go through men. You don't go through rituals. You go through the Bible. You go through what Christ did for you and me and all of us. God is good. I pray that you'll be saved if you're not right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.